the church has swung for a while in an era, I believe, all the way to the point of, you know, men are to be the head, and therefore they make all the decisions, give all the direction, and the woman is supposed to be the compliant, silent follower.
Hey, welcome to the Vertical Church Ovilla podcast, where our goal is to encourage people to live out biblical faith in the relevant areas of life. So I'm glad you're here for this one. It's going to be great.
So I'm excited about this today. Let's start with a little bit of tension. There's an interesting conundrum, a tension point in the Christian faith, and it's this. When you come to Christ, you are made complete by yourself in Christ. You don't need anyone else's affirmation, approval, or you don't have to go through anyone to have access to God. Mm-hmm. You have direct access into the throne room because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ for you. That's great.
Yeah.
You can function independently. You don't need a pope. You don't need a person. You technically don't need a pastor to go to the Lord.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's this interesting dilemma of where, I won't say dilemma, there's this interesting contrast to that.
Yeah.
Of where we are saved into the body of Christ, and I'm made a member of, it's a part of something much larger with other people who come from other backgrounds, but are all one in Christ, and therefore I'm connected to them and have need of them, and they have need of me. That's so interesting.
Good. Yeah.
Where I'm independent, but yet I'm dependent at the same time.
Yeah. You're complete, you're made complete apart from other people.
Yep.
But the Christian life is to be lived in community with other people. And that's how flourishing happens. That's how growth occurs. That's like the way God has structured life is for growth and flourishing to occur as you are around others, not in independence, not in isolation.
Right.
But your salvation is not just because you're in church or because you're around others.
Yeah.
But only through Christ.
Yeah. So most people assume, well, that's why I go to church. But let's just dive a little bit further, because just attending a church is not necessarily fulfilling the component of being a member of a body where you're dependent upon the other members.
Because
frankly, honestly, it's easy to walk in a door, sit in a seat, spectate a service, walk out the door, have the look of being with others, but never being dependent on or receiving something from the other members of the body.
Yeah. So, like your extent of being with and in church is physical, purely physical.
Right.
And and it is not reaching beyond into the mental, emotional, into your actual actions in your life, or obviously into your spirit as well, that you're spiritually connected to the people too.
Exactly. So it's one thing to talk about that in theory or in doctrinal, you know, truth, but today we're going to talk about that more in practical aspects. What does that look like? Because honestly, there's a way that this plays out in life in which I need, I spiritually, emotionally, mentally, willfully, and physically need other people in my life. I'm not made to live my Christian life in the Lone Ranger mode, in the isolation chamber. I know a lot of people say, well, I am the church. I can meet with God on my own. I don't need anyone else. But there is actually a danger in trying to live faith out on your own.
Yeah.
Let's think about that for just a minute, because that, again, I think people drift toward this, but there's actually a real danger in this idea of like, oh no, I got this. I don't need anyone else. I've been burned too many times, so I don't need anyone else. But the minute you start relying upon yourself only for your faith alone, man, you venture over some really dangerous waters.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
And you know, I heard something just similarly. I think another thing that people justify with like, oh, why not church, and why I can kind of do things the way I want. So, oh well, hey, you know, the thief on the cross, he was never a part of a church, and you know, he actually never read his Bible, and he never did all those things. So I was like, yes, that's very true, but
he also died right after he preached.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he didn't live beyond.
Who's to say in his life he wouldn't have gone and done those things?
Yeah, exactly.
So this I've heard it said, like, the thief on the cross is not how we're supposed to build our theology, but it is supposed to temper our theology. It is supposed to say it's not only in about, you know, being, you have to be around people in order to,
right.
because it's not just in that, you know,
right.
like salvation is by Jesus, you know, yeah. alone.
Yeah. You could use the thief on the cross as a picture for what happens in salvation, but you sure can't yeah. use him as an example for how to live
Christian
a Christian
living.
Life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Here's your sanctification
yeah.
process.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't use that model.
No, exactly.
So, and just to clarify even further, narrow it down here, we're not talking about just church actions. I'm talking about life. There is a way to live our life in following Jesus that requires a dependence upon other people in our life.
Yeah.
Now, you find this truth throughout Scripture. We're going to talk about this today, but one of the verses that tells us this is from the book of Proverbs. And it mentions this three different times, the same principle here. This is the one from Proverbs 11:14. It says, where there is no counsel, in other words, the wise input from other people who have experience and wisdom in our life, where there is no counsel, the people fall. And here's how I used to hear this verse. But in the multitude of counsel, there is safety or wisdom.
Yeah.
That's how I used to hear that.
Yeah.
But when I look at it and I read it, it says—
It doesn't say that.
it doesn't say that. It says, in the multitude of counselors, plural, there is safety.
So what's the difference in the two of those readings?
Well, in the multitude of counsel, sounds like, well, I'm just going to Google this. I'm going to read about this.
Yeah,
That's really good. I'm going to seek counsel from a person. But this gives the idea of multitude, which is many, not just one or two, multitude of counselors. Ah, so I'm surrounding myself and leaning on wisdom, experience,
humans.
Gifting from people.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah. Not just in the multitude of counsel, so you could have one friend or a few close people give you a bunch of different options.
Right.
A bunch of different takes.
No.
It's not just that there's wisdom or because it says where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counsel, there's counselors, there is safety.
Yeah.
It's not just that there's safety in hearing a lot of different outcomes possible.
No.
But in having many voices to speak into your life, there is safety.
Yeah, and those voices are speaking truth.
Yeah.
They come from people who are wise. They come from people who have a rich heritage of faith, a good reputation in the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's necessary. And again, this can apply in terms of studying the Bible, but I'm also talking about life.
In real life,
when you're going to make a financial decision, or you're going to make a relationship decision, when you're going to make a purchase decision, when you're going to make a shift in your priorities in your life, and you need godly counsel in your life at that moment.
So are you supposed to run every one of those decisions by however many people you can find in order to make a decision?
You know, I've seen both ends of that. I've seen some people make decisions in isolation. I've seen others who seem to want to just ask everybody they know for their opinion.
Mm-hmm. Because in the multitude of counselors, there's great safety.
Well, I would go back to the key word is counselors, not just opinion givers.
Not just people.
just people in general. Everybody's got an opinion on something.
Yeah.
And they got an idea on something. But I'm looking for those who are wise, who have integrity, who have a history of God working in their life, and their life proves it. I need that. I need this. Mm-hmm. I need people in my life because every one of us have built-in blind spots. Mm-hmm. There are spots I can't see that I need a counselor for.
Yeah.
I have areas that I haven't walked in yet. I need someone else's wisdom. I need someone else's history that they have. I need their perspective. And again, you and I are made put on purpose, incomplete, and in need of this. Even when it comes to the way we're shaped into the body of Christ, I have a gifting, but you have a gifting.
Yeah.
And the gifting I have is not your gifting, and the gifting you have is not my gifting.
Yeah.
And the same for other people in our family and in our church.
Yeah.
And I need them because I am on purpose made limited without it.
Yeah.
So I am instantly in need of this. So I want to narrow this down today. We'll just keep refining this down because today I think we're going to come to this realization and drive this point that yes, we need godly counsel. We need people who live their life according to the scriptures, who honor Jesus Christ, who have evidence of that in their life. But there are two specific people that everybody needs in their life. And the Bible's going to point to actually a much larger context, like we talked about the church, gifts within the church. There are those who have gifts that we don't have, gift of prophecy or teaching or serving or administrating or mercy. I need those in my life. Or I'm part of a body that has other parts to it. But there are two specifically that every person must have. And if you don't have these two to start with, you really are putting yourself in a very awkward and potentially dangerous situation. So the question is, who are these two? Who are these two people?
Yeah.
It's not just me and you. That's But who are these two people? I believe, based on the scripture, that every person needs in their life a godly man and a godly woman that they listen to for counsel.
So good.
At least one godly man and one godly woman. I would say at least that too, but in reality, a much larger context.
So let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Why does this sound like almost like a new concept compared to where we have been as of recent in the church? Like, I'll just go there because it sounds, I mean, it's like you hear that and you're like, duh. But then there's some people that hear that and they're like, that's
right.
That's just a bunch of, you're just saying that just to make guys and girls feel good about themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like there's some people that it's like, that's not really true. You know?
Right. Right.
Because the teaching in the church is just like, you know, the teaching in the church predominantly is like, listen to male leaders, the end. And it's like females, that's nice and all.
Right.
But then you've also had this large swing as of even recent 10 years, we'll just say, where it's like every male voice is just pure evil. And only females are really who you can believe and trust and all this stuff. Yeah. And so, which is a way far swing. So talk to me about ground me in this a little more, ground the listener in this more, as to like, I know we're going to get there, obviously.
Yeah, that's sure.
What we're talking about with godly man, godly woman.
But. You're right. You have this, I believe the church has swung for a while in an era, I believe, all the way to the point of, you know, men are to be the head, and therefore they make all the decisions, give all the direction, and the woman is supposed to be the compliant, silent follower. That's really not the biblical model. That's really not what you see at all in the New Testament. You see in marriage, a husband and wife are made one. Mm-hmm. They're not one not subservient to the other. They're both to submit to one another. Mm-hmm. And they're made in this mystery relationship of the two become one. And so there, even in a marriage, there should be this man and woman counsel between the both of them coming to a decision before the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I want to keep this larger than the context of marriage.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah.
There's obviously application there. But I would say where we're going today is that every person, regardless of who you are, single, married, young, old, you need in your life a godly man and a godly woman to give you counsel and direction. Two that you at least look for and look to for the larger decisions in your life. The question is, why did God set it up this way?
Yeah.
Why a man, a woman, and why are we driving this point today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go back to Genesis 1, and we find that when God makes humanity in his image, he does so by creating a man and a woman.
Yeah.
And so they together are a reflection of his image. So he takes him and he makes two. In other words, it now takes the two to get a more complete picture of the one.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true just in marriage. It's true also in the counsel of life. Yeah. If you want to have a true picture of who God is and what he's like, you can't rely on male input alone.
Yeah.
You're going to have the input of godly females in your life to help give you the more rounded picture of the fullness of who the image of God is. And the opposite is true as well.
Yeah.
If you can't rely on just female input in your life, you must have a male input as well. That's
because the ultimate stereotype is like the male is the logical, the female is the empath, is the feel, is the feeling side of things.
Right.
And that's where some people are like, it's just all logic. And so it's just all empathy. And it's like, well, no, the complete picture is the both of them together combined because it's male and female. He created them both in his image. He created male in his image and then created female.
Yeah. As an afterthought.
Yeah. It is not that.
No. It completes the picture. She was not an afterthought. She was the next part, but it was part of what he did in creating what reflects his image, male and female. So the thought processes of male and female are obviously different. Men think differently than women.
Yeah.
And that should be understood, accepted, and find the glory of God in that.
Yeah.
And in that, we should recognize that because a man brings a certain level of counsel into a situation. Regardless of his personality or background, just because he's a male, he's going to bring certain factors to bear on a situation. And a woman is going to bring certain factors to bear on a situation because she's created female. And both are necessary. So maybe we should break it down and talk about what is unique about a man and what he brings to the table. Again, we're operating off of the assumption that it is a godly man.
Yeah.
It's a
not just what does your average good old blue collar hardworking male bring to the table?
Yeah, but this is not ask ChatGPT what a man would say about this.
Yeah,
no, this means find a man in your church, in your family, in your life who seeks the Lord, who trusts the Lord, who walks with the Lord, who has history, who has heritage, who has a reputation, and find him as your person of counsel. And the same for a woman. Find a woman who has history and heritage and reputation of walking with the Lord and seek their counsel because they each bring a very important dynamic into counsel. So again, let's talk about men, for example. Why ask a man, what is he going to bring to the table? There's a few things I think of. I think a man is wired by God to bring to the table a sense of strength and conviction. This is not to say that a woman does not.
No, exactly.
But it's at a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And so when a man is asked for counsel, a godly man is asked for counsel, he's going to go right away to usually some conviction points in his life. He's going to tend to think of it more based on some principles and strength and encourage that to be strong and to make even a hard call. Which is what you need. You need a hard call when there's pressure in a situation. You need someone to give you some clarity, some wisdom. And I've done that over the years. There's been moments where I've not known what I was going to do next. Mm-hmm. And it was confusing to me. And Heather and I alone couldn't figure out the answer. And so I have men. I called on those times. Hey, what do you see here in my life? Is there something I'm missing? Help me see clearly. What is your perspective on these factors right now in my life? And they were able to do that for me in ways that I couldn't see in the moment because I was under the weight of the pressure or I was caught up in the emotion of the moment. A male is typically going to bring in a sense of fulfilling responsibility and calling. And he's going to challenge whoever you are, male or female, he's going to offer a sense of challenge. And he's going to bring to the table this sense of, I've been through the fire. I know this. I know what it's like to walk in this situation. I have succeeded and I have failed. I have been through testing and I've walked in obedience and I've walked in disobedience. Let me tell you what I have learned in those lessons. And a man brings that to the table, a sense of challenge and purpose and confidence. And that's necessary. But a woman brings something very different to the table. Again, not that she can't bring those to the table.
Because the same is true on this. Like, it's not that a man can't bring what the woman has to the table, but it's just different.
Yeah. He's going to think in terms usually of facts and logic and information and outcomes, and that's great. You need that.
You need that voice.
You need that. And I've needed it at times in my life.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been points in your life where you've had men who were able to help shape and shift you into a direction in your life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like Jonathan Gaddis being one of the men in our church that I rely on as someone who I know seeks the flourishing of me as an individual and my family and the youth ministry and the church.
Yep.
I know I can bring questions to him and I can bring struggles and problems and whatever, and even victories and all this stuff. And I know he's going to be there alongside me. And it's It comes from the strength warrior. We're in this battle together. We're accomplishing, we're doing, and I want to see you grow and be strong as well. And so like, that's someone in my life that I rely on as godly male counsel into my life.
Exactly. And same for me. I think back over the years, you know, like way back at, you know, past churches I've been in, there was a man, Neil McDowell, who was a powerful influence. You know, I could lean on him, ask him questions, seek counsel, and he was quick to give godly confirmation. When I was at Encounter, there were men that I leaned on. Here at Vertical, there's men that I lean on. They make up our trustee and elder team here even. And I can go to any one of those men with any situation and know I'm going to get trusted counsel that's going to be rooted in Scripture. It's going to be following Christ, and it's going to be out of care for me at the same time. Heather's dad, Nick Harris, has been that for me and for us as well at times when I thought, I don't know what's happening right now. There are questions I had in ministry, questions I had about direction in life, and they're able to cut through some of my own fears or anxieties and say, all right, here, let me ask you a few questions, and here's what I see. And that's so necessary. It's necessary for men to have that. It's necessary for women to have that as well.
Yeah.
Now, this is where it gets interesting. You're like,
exactly.
Okay, so I get it. A woman is a single mom, and she needs that in her life.
Yeah.
You know, who does she call on? Well, again, now we're back to the beauty of the church and extended family, to have godly men who can be the support for a woman in that kind of situation. Yeah.
And that a church would shape men to be that for other women in the church.
Yeah. Whether they're young at 22 or whether they're single at 82, you know, they still need that.
Yeah.
But married women need this as well.
Exactly.
They, you know, the goal would be to have that in her husband.
That it ought to come.
That is the first place it should come from.
Yes.
And she should pray for that in him, in her husband. Mm-hmm. I understand in reality, there may be situations where she doesn't have that in him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the beauty of the church is there are other men who can help give counsel in times like that.
Yeah.
But it's necessary. If a woman only seeks the counsel of other women, she's going to get a certain outcome from that. And we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Exactly.
But in the same way, a man, if a man only seeks the counsel of other men, he's only getting...
You're only
at best 50% maybe.
Exactly. Yeah.
Of a situation. But that other 50 is so critical that if you don't get the female, the godly woman's perspective on it, you could make a decision that will absolutely destroy you.
Yeah. Which we
and
haven't
your family.
We haven't even gone through all the things of like what the woman, the counsel of the wise woman brings. She brings the relational wisdom and compassion into relationships.
Yes.
Into factoring in decisions, you know, relational wisdom, discerning people and what is going on in there and how your decisions might impact other people.
And some men have an ability to do some of that, but no man has the ability to do all of that.
Yes.
It's a gifting that God just gives women just by the fact that they're a woman.
Yes.
But then when they are Jesus following, spirit filled, experience laden woman, then wow, now you've got a powerhouse of sensitivity.
Yes.
They see things that men just don't see.
Absolutely, yes. And same, they bring a different level of discernment into life. We're discerning spirits. It is a intuitive female thing to be discerning of humans.
Yes.
And discerning of motives.
Yep.
And that's something that men are not naturally, normally, intuitively in tune with, you know, not that they cannot develop that, you know, because I believe that is something you can learn and you can shift your mind into that mentality, but it is more intuitive, natural for the woman, as well as being aware of subtle dangers and dangers in general. Men like to just see past every ounce of danger and say, I'm big enough, tough enough, strong enough. I can do this. I guarantee it. And like, sure, yeah, you might be able to, but you need the voice of godly women in your life to give voice to, hey, here is what's out there. Here's what can be ahead, and here's what could be harmful.
And here's my discernment in this relationship and this other person.
Yeah,
I mean, the women that we have on staff are able to speak those things. Heather is that for me as well. I mean, she's a very sensitive radar to help give counsel in situations in a realm that I can't see.
Yeah,
it's like a whole different layer of radar that I don't have. Mm-hmm. And if I need to see that realm, I have to rely upon a godly woman to give that.
Yep, yep. Another thing is the women have, again, just it's just in a different sense, a different sense of a prayer life.
It's true.
And different depth. You know, there's popular memes that go around of like a picture of an iceberg. And on top, it's like, here's me and my life and the things I've accomplished. And everything underneath just says, mom's prayers. And it's like accurate, you know? It's like all the things you think that you, wow, hey, this is what everyone knows about me and knows because of, you know, all the things I've done. And it's like, the only reason you're being held up is because of mom and grandma's prayers.
Man, that's so good.
You know, and that's real. Like that
is true.
That's historically real. As much as you're like, ah, ain't no way. It's like, it is something unique and different that God calls women to, and when they're obedient toward that end, I believe you see greater answers to prayer from the woman. You know, whenever someone prays in faith, knowing I cannot make the difference, but I know God can and will make the difference. Yep. That's, again, the difference of the man says, I can do this. I will take this challenge on, and I'm going to do this in my strength. Not that women are not strong.
No.
But women say, I know God is stronger. I know God is capable, and I am trusting that He's going to bring a different outcome and, than I can bring about.
Yes, and my experience with Heather and I is, I can tend to believe God's going to just work in a certain situation, but she'll be the one to remind me, hey, we need to pray about this situation. Yes,
that's like, Chloe, every time. Like,
that's true.
That's a great point.
Yep. And she'll say, we need to pray about this situation. Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's an intuitive gifting, because she's female, but because she's walking with the Lord and has the Spirit of God in her that speaks. Yes, there's a sensitivity to prayer that's different than that of a man.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they know how to guard against harshness, again, that a man wants to just cut in and just go at. But the woman has the tenderness that is necessary to life.
Yep.
Because life is not all just about accomplishing, winning every battle.
Yep.
You know, but having bigger picture in what is more greater at play, right?
That's true.
And again, women have a different experience that they bring to the table. Mm-hmm. They bring their perspective, their life, their pains, and how God has worked in them. They bring that to the table as well. That is a different impact. You know, so whenever we're saying you need both of these people, the godly man and the godly woman, it's not just that you need these attributes, but it's that you need these people as well.
Because
we're talking about there's safety in the multitude of counselors.
Yes.
Not just in having someone who is relationally wise and compassionate. You know, if you're like, but I don't really want to be around a woman that's like that. And it's like, well, that's actually the body of Christ is meant to be, where you're around multiple people that are like this, male and female.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure, as we just mentioned, you have Chloe.
Yeah.
I have Heather.
Absolutely.
Other women in our lives that that speak that.
Yes.
And give help.
Yes, absolutely. As I was going to say, Chloe definitely has tempered my responses that I've wanted to have before.
Yep.
As well as I know whenever I see things a certain way, again, it's very easy to be like, so this is just how it is. But then I'm like, okay, let me ask Chloe, how do you see life? How do you see this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a whole different element. It takes a 2D image to a 3D image all of a sudden. It's like, wow. Like, yeah, I saw this aspect of it, and that makes sense now, actually, what this other aspect is of the situation.
It's just fascinating that this is the way God's designed life.
Yeah.
You and I need other people. Every person needs another person to help complete the picture, and it starts with at least these two people. So let's talk about the practicality of this, like, say, in marriage.
Yes.
So you have a wife, I have a wife.
Yep.
But I still need men in my life.
Exactly. Yes.
And then, again, take the counter. A woman who's married to a man, she still needs the voice of a man in her life to help with that counsel.
A woman.
She needs a woman. I'm sorry. She needs a woman in her life to complete counsel, not just from the husband.
Exactly.
There's so much value. Again, this is where the church setting comes into play, and hearing counsel from a godly woman and a godly man mm-hmm. in our life. So important. If you're single, you know, this is just as vital.
Yes. And again, this is why we have church. This is why you attend churches on Sundays, because how much are you actually sitting during a sermon talking, hey, so here's my life actually, and yeah. you tell me about your life, and you speak into my life.
No. Yes.
Being in church is more than just attending on the Sunday for the hour and a half, right. but it's being in the groups. It's participating beyond the service.
Yes.
It's, you know, serving in different ministries. It's getting to know people at a different level. This is what the church is.
Yeah, yeah, the Sunday morning gathering gives you a context, like, mm-hmm. okay, here's some potential people.
And like-minded people who yes. are, yes, I rally, here's my authority going all in this one direction yep. so I can trust and we can build our lives together.
Yeah. And so there should be this, I'm leaning on this, I'm looking for this, and I'm giving this in my life. Yeah. I am being this for another person as well. All of those
so good.
Components are necessary.
Yeah.
So let's talk about just for a minute here before we wrap it all up. Mm-hmm. What are some of the dangers of just, let's say, a woman who only leans upon other women
yeah.
alone for counsel? This is not at all
no, it's demeaning not on
women.
But it's true that if you, as woman, only rely on the other voices of woman, you are going to have an out-of-balance life.
It's true.
You're going to have an out of balance view of life, direction in life, and it will be unhealthy.
Yeah.
It will straight up be unhealthy.
You'll most likely get a lot of affirmation.
Yeah.
And a lot of tears when you cry, laughter when you laugh, and someone who'll sit with you.
And very few, hey, straight up, that's wrong.
Exactly.
Very few people with just, I'm going to have ruthless justice in this sense and say, mm-hmm. I'm not standing for that.
Yeah.
You need to change.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's how every man's voice ought to sound in your life.
No. But it's not to say that a woman can't do that either.
No.
But that is not going to be the general disposition
yes.
of the female voice naturally.
Yes.
With another woman.
Yes.
They need a godly man in mm-hmm. their life to help bring that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's flip it. What about a man who only yeah. seeks the counsel of yeah. other men, but yeah. refuses to rely on his wife or daughters or other women, godly women in his life?
You're going to live your life chopping off heads of everyone around you and asking question 20 years down the road of like, man, why is every relationship I have garbage?
Yes.
Why is every relationship ended?
Yes.
You know, because all I've done is go and accomplish and win and take charge and dominate and
surround myself with other men who do the same thing.
And who push, yeah, exactly. And
yes.
and no one to say, hey, do you realize the insensitivity of your life? Do you realize the hardness of your heart? Do you realize the lack of humility you have? Do you realize, you know?
And a man who won't hear that from a man is in trouble to begin with, but
yeah.
a man who can't hear that from a woman is in deep trouble.
Yeah.
They are in dangerous waters, and their mm-hmm. life will reveal that over time.
Yes.
There is safety in the multitude of counselors.
So good.
So what an important point for all of us to think through, like, okay, who are the counselors in my life? I'm not talking about your paid therapists. I'm not talking yeah. about your doctor. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about who is that mentor? Who is that friend? Who is that person in the faith mm-hmm. that has a track record of godliness that you lean on and you can sit down with and they'll be honest with you? Who's the male? Who's the female for you? Because that yeah. is what gives you the more complete picture of the glory of God, because this is how he created us, male and female, in his image. So
man, good.
Good stuff today.
So good.
So thanks for joining us today. I hope it encourages you to find your male and your female counselors in your life. I pray they're people who are close to you. Mm-hmm. They're godly and they're walking with the Lord and they become a motivation, inspiration to you. And then you become that for other people in your life. So come join us at Vertical. God is assembling a body of people where yeah. that is happening right here. Keep lifting them up and living them out. We'll be right back.